Should we start? I don't foresee us having a long meeting. Hopefully. All right. Madam, Mrs. Baba. Yeah. Who is it? The young animal. One agenda item, then after that we have to approve minutes. Do we correct? Yes, we do. That person is here, so we correct him. There's only one agenda item by the DPSA, briefing by the DPSA on the comprehensive monitoring report of departments in achieving employment of 50% of women and 2% of people with disabilities. I see the DG is here, the city cooper, you're welcome. And your team, you're all welcome. There's no need for introduction. Do we need that? Okay, we'll just take another 10 minutes then. All right, the city cooper, if you're ready, take us through the presentation, then after, members will engage. Thanks. You're welcome, members and down. Sorry, we started before you arrived. Next time we'll wait for you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honorable Members, for this opportunity. I am joined by Rulani Makhovela, who is the acting DPG for governance. Together with Mebabra Watson and Fanani, who are the people who drive this work in line function in DPSA on our behalf to promote representativity in terms of people with disabilities as well as women in management positions. We were with this committee earlier in the year when we spoke about this subject. Today we come to the committee to talk about the progress that has been made since. We talk about the statistics in terms of representativity for people with disabilities and for women in FMF. We also talk about the measures that we are putting in place as the Department of Public Service and Administration to further create an enabling environment for departments to be better positioned to achieve these targets. Some of these measures include the provision of support to departments and workshops that we are conducting. Others include guidelines and policy instruments that we are putting in place. With your permission, Chairperson, I would ask Ms. Anali just to quickly take us through the presentation, and then we can deal with the issues that members raised after that.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, DG and colleagues. As the DG indicated, I will take you through the presentation and I believe they will deal with the rest. It deals with the outline and talks to the update since we last presented in February. Please ignore the September there. And then we'll talk about the improvement in the submission of plans and reports, which is part of the strengthening of looking beyond meeting the equity targets to create an enabling environment on the job access strategy framework and the gender equality strategy framework. Then we'll give you a breakdown of the support that was given to departments, and then then progress in the representation of people with disabilities. We've covered the four quarters of the year. And then same with the progress in the representation of women at SMS, also covers March 2013 and March 2014. And then support that is specific to the meeting of equity targets. The targets, as we know, have not been met by 31st March 2015, but we have noted that the improvement is by a percentage point annually, and for women it's currently at 40.5%, and currently that is 31st March 2015. And the representation of persons with disabilities is currently at 0.66, and at the time when we presented to you, it was at 0.55. And the submission of implementation plans on the two frameworks that I spoke about, it has improved from 78 that were submitted in the 2014-15 financial year to 101 in the 2015-16 financial year. And the number of departments that have met the targets in June 2014 were 22 departments, and this has risen to 29 in March 2015. And departments that are required to submit implementation plan and half yearly reports on the two strategic plans, this it's also an improvement in terms of how we have performed on the impact, because we moved there from 1.2 in 2014 to 1.7 now in 2015. And then the submission is a breakdown per province. In the Eastern Cape, we have 13 departments, and we have 9 departments that have submitted both their plans and reports. In the Free State, we have 12 departments, and only half of those submitted their plans and reports. In Gauteng, we have 14 departments and 9 submitted. In KwaZulu-Natal, we have 15 departments and 10 submitted. In Limpopo, we have 12 departments and only 7 submitted. In Mpumalanga, that is the lowest submission. It's 5 out of 12. In the Northwest, out of 12 departments, only 8 submitted. In the Northern Cape, 11 departments out of 12 submitted. In the Western Cape, all 13 departments submitted. Nationally, out of 45 departments, 23 submitted. This is the support that is being given to departments, specifically on the implementation of the two frameworks, and the implementation of remedial plans for departments that have very low representation on equity. We have already conducted three in KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, and Limpopo. And the other seven, six provinces and national departments are still coming, and they're running from June to February 2016. The representation of persons with disabilities as at 31st March 2015, there has also been an improvement, although we have not highlighted each year, but you recall that out of 1,324,228 employees in the public service, 8,729 were employees with disabilities. And I hope you are going to also read this slide together with slide number 11, where we have tried to show that although we have this number, because of the problems that we have when it comes to disclosing disability, we do have, more especially that deal with mental disabilities that may not necessarily be captured in PESA. 4,213 were females and 4,516 were males. And we are putting this gender disaggregation specifically to show how, despite the number of women being more in the public service at 57% women, but when it comes to representation of women with disabilities, it's lower, and even when it comes to representation of women at SMS, it's lower. In terms of age, when we compare them with their counterparts who do not have disabilities, there were only 1,178 persons with disabilities in this age group. Age group 35 to 39 is 1,007, and then 40 to 44 is 1,564. 45 to 49 is 1,774, and 50 to 54 is 1,578, 55 to 59 is 1,199, age 60 to 64 is 120, and age group 65 to 69 is only 9. And in senior management, we have only 119 out of the now 9,000 and odd senior management positions that were filled by 31st March 2050. In middle management, out of the 22,000 MMS positions that were filled, only 226 were filled by persons with disabilities. And then the rest are concentrated from level 1 to 10, which is 8,384. And the three-year trends in achieving the 2% in the public service, we see the highest there is housing, and you can see that there has been a very big improvement from December 2012, December 2013 to March 2015. It's 1.6, that's the highest. And national departments have also shown a growth from 0.64 to 0.81. In Mpumalanga, from 0.41 to 0.49. In the Northwest, from 0.40 to 0.49. In the Eastern Cape, from 0.43 in December 2013, there was a decrease by 0.1%, and it's the only province that has experienced a decrease. In the Western Cape, from 0.37 to 0.38. In Limpopo, from 0.37 to 0.40. In the Northern Cape, from 0.28 to 0.29. The Free State, 0.23 to 0.25. And in KwaZulu-Natal, from 0.22 to 0.27. The meeting of the 2% target per province, a number of departments that have met the 2% target. In the Eastern Cape, it was only one department. In the Free State, there was no department that had met the 2% target. In Gauteng, there are 5. In KZN, there was none. In Limpopo, there were 3. In Mpumalanga, 4. National departments are 10. In the Northwest, it's 3. In the Northern Cape, it's 1. And in the Western Cape, there are 2. All in all, there are 29. And in the past presentation that we gave you, there were only 23, I think, that have met the target. Those that are between 1% and 1.9, in the Eastern Cape, we have 6. Free State, 3. Housing 6, KZN 7, and Limpopo 3, Mpumalanga 6, National Department are 15, Northwest is 5, the Northern Cape is 4, and then Western Cape is 5. And all in all, we have 60 departments that have representation between 1% and 1.9%. The number of departments that are below 1%, in the Eastern Cape we have 6. In the Free State, we have 9. In KZN, we have 8, in Limpopo 6, in Mpumalanga 2, national departments are 18, and Northwest is 4, the Northern Cape is 7, and the Western Cape is 6, and all in all, 69 departments that need to meet the move beyond the below 1%. Department specific that have met the 2% target. In the Eastern Cape, it's local government and traditional affairs. In the Free State, there is none, as we had indicated. Housing, it's economic development, education, finance, office of the premier, and the provincial treasury. In KZN, it's none. In Limpopo, it's the office of the premier, the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Sport, Arts and Culture. In Mpumalanga, it's Office of the Premier, Finance, Public Works, Roads and Transport, Safety, Security and Liaison. And then in the Northwest, it's Economic Development, Finance, Sport, Arts and Culture. The Northern Cape is Cooperative Governance. The Western Cape is Local Government and Office of the Premier. So we have three offices of the Premier that have made the 2% target. National departments is Arts and Culture, Communications, Energy, Environmental Affairs, Labor, National School of Government, Science and Technology, Tourism, Trade and Industry, and the Department of Women. This is a slide that I indicated. You also need to read it in conjunction with the figures that I gave earlier on. And this was a way for us to try and highlight the problem when it comes to disclosure, because this is the information that was sold through GEMS to see how big the picture is, even including those that have not that are not captured on PEPFAR. And this was prompted by the definition that relates to disability from the Employment Equity Act, from the UNCRPD, which is the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, that put emphasis not on defining what disability is, but what the impairment does to hinder the person from performing to the best of their ability. And in those, we have epilepsy, we have those that are suffering from rheumatoid arthritis, we have chronic depression, we have bipolar, and then we have schizophrenia. The representation of women at SMS, by March 2015, there were 9,649 positions that were filled, and as I've indicated earlier, the breakdown in gender is women at 40.5, and then there has been that increase from last year by 1%, but then levels 15 and 16, we see women not being represented fairly. And this slide shows the representation at a level by gender and race. And you'll see that for all the four race groups, males are higher than those, and then for females, it's hovering on average at 40% for all the race groups. And then this specifically relates to representation of women at level 16. You'll realize there is a mistake there with the 200 should be 100. I don't know how it converted, but it's supposed to be 100 there. At level 16, we only have women represented at 28%, while 72% of level 16s are males. And this is the breakdown per province. We have Gauteng again. You remember that even in terms of disability, they were leading at 1.6. Even here, they are leading at 44.9%. National departments are second at 41.6. KwaZulu-Natal is third at 40.6. Eastern Cape is 39.8, it's number four. And then Limpopo is fifth at 38.5. The Western Cape is sixth at 37%. Mpumalanga is seventh at 36.3. The Northern Cape is eighth at 35.7. The Northwest is 35%. And the Free State is 34.2. That is the lowest. Departments that have met the target. Previously, when we presented, I believe only 19 or 18 departments had met the targets, and right now it's 22. And then in the Eastern Cape, there are three. In the Free State, it's one. Gauteng is one. KZN is three. And Mpumalanga is, Limpopo is two. Mpumalanga is two. National departments are six. The Northwest is one, the Northern Cape is one, and the Western Cape is two. In the next slide, I'll show you the vein that runs through the Social Development Department that in, I think, seven provinces or six provinces that have met the targets, even in the Free State where it's only one. And in Gauteng, it was only the Department of Social Development. The number of departments that have representation between 40 and 49. In the Eastern Cape, we have two. In the Free State, it's one. In Gauteng, it's 11. And in KZN, there are three. In Limpopo, there are four. In Mpumalanga, there are two. National departments are 19. And Northwest, it's two. And the Northern Cape 3, and as well as the Western Cape. Between 30 and 39, in the Eastern Cape we have 6, in the Free State we have 6, in Gauteng it's 2, in KZN and Limpopo it's both 5, in Mpumalanga it's 4, nationally 16, the Northwest is 7, Northern Cape is 3, and the Western Cape is 5, and all in all they are 59. And the number of departments that have representation below 30%, which was supposed to have been met by 2005, in total we have 22, and then in the Eastern Cape we have 2, in the Free State 3, in Gauteng we don't have any department that is below 30%, and in KZN we have 3, in Limpopo we have 1, in Mpumalanga, we have four national departments. There is none that is below 30%. In the Northwest, it's one. The Northern Cape is five, and the Western Cape is three. And the departments that have met the 50% specifically. In the Eastern Cape, it's Office of the Premier, Human Settlements, Safety, Security, and Liaison. In the Free State, it's Social Development. In Gauteng, it's Social Development. In KZN, it's Human Settlement, Social Development, and Transport. In Limpopo, it's Social Development, Sport, Arts, and Culture. In Mpumalanga, it's Health and Social Development. In the Northwest, it's Economic Development. In the Northern Cape, it's Social Development. In the Western Cape, it's Health and Social Development. So in all these provinces, you realize that it's only the Eastern Cape, Northwest, that social development does not feature, while in all the other provinces, social development has met the target. Nationally, it's arts and culture, economic development, National School of Government, learning, monitoring, and evaluation, the presidency, and the Department of Women. Another new slide that we have never included in the past was after looking at the education and health sector. And from a gender perspective, you know that these are sectors that have always been female dominated. and we were interested to find out if these are said to be male, female dominated, how do they fare when it comes to management of health facilities and schools. And we found that CEOs and managers of health facilities, there were 134 positions that were filled that we tracked through PESA, and 46.2% were headed by women, and only two of those were headed by persons with disabilities. In the education sector, principals and second office managers, out of the 21,302 that we checked through PESAL, only 7,826, which translates to 36%, were headed by women. And 129 of those were headed by people with disabilities. And we can see that women still do not represent 50%, although they are said to be female dominated. Support to departments. The latest thing that we can report is that the policy on reasonable accommodation and assistive devices has now been approved by the minister, and it's now accompanied by a directive to make it more authoritative. And then we are still providing assistance and support to departments, as I indicated in slide 5. And then the strengthening of the implementation of the two frameworks, it has assisted us to improve, as I indicated, we moved from 78 to 101. And then departments that have not yet met their targets, we ask them to develop remedial plans to show us how they are going to address the gaps. And that is still going. And you can see for provinces that have taken this seriously, provinces like Gauteng, because ever since they've gained momentum to use the implementation of remedial plans and the two frameworks, hence they are doing very well in terms of their equity figures. And for those that have already met the target, because we've seen if the departments do not develop retention and maintenance plans, they usually go back to losing those targets. We have encouraged them to develop their maintenance and retention plans. And then the other new thing that is coming in this presentation is in the past few years from this same committee, there were perceptions that persons with disabilities are leaving the public service in large numbers. So in February this year, we did a study to check if they are leaving or not, although we could see that they are not leaving in terms of what the persons they were giving us, but we had to find out scientifically. And we administered the questionnaire, and that was validated through a focus group session. That did not only have public servants only, but we also included organizations of persons with disabilities. And the breakdown of the responses are what follows. The highest participation was with national departments, at 32.29. Gauteng was second at 28.26. KwaZulu-Natal, it was 10.36. The Northwest, at 10.2. The Eastern Cape, it was 4.2. The Western Cape, it was 3.6. The Free State, 2.6. Limpopo, 2.9. Mpumalanga, 3.1. And the Northern Cape, 0.31. That was the lowest participation in the Northern Cape. And the findings, as I've already indicated, is that employees with disabilities disabilities are not necessarily leaving the public service. Instead, they move laterally within the public service. Hence, you will find that there is a department in this quarter that has made the target. And when you check the next quarter, there has decreased the representation, and it's the next department just like that. But then respondents raised the following concerns, which is going to form part of our work going forward, that there is still a persisting discrimination and negative attitudes, which we'll have to address through strategies. And then they feel that there's still a lot of victimization, and they are always reminded that they should be grateful for having a job and not complain about anything, or more especially when it comes to reasonable accommodation. And they still feel undermined by colleagues, and they feel that promotions are not favoring them. And sometimes they don't get provided with reasonable accommodation, and training and development always left them behind. And then they also raised issues of access. And the biggest one was on gender and disability mainstreaming, that they felt it's still not happening in the public service. So this will form part of what we are going to report to you in future in terms of what we've done to address these issues that they have raised. Thank you. Thank you very much for the presentation. Well, I'm pleased about the fact that the DG is here at the Lipofa. So it could send a positive message to public servants, to female public servants, that they are not needs, their constitutional rights will be given a special attention that it deserves. The first recommendation that I want to make before I make my comments is that you need to establish a forum of DGs where this issue must be dealt with, because it looks like it's just a by-the-way issue and it's not given the attention that it deserves. Being a gender activist and an advocate for people with disabilities, I'll be lying if I could say that I'm happy. After 20 years, we're still receiving the same statistics. Nothing has improved. I'm quite disappointed about KwaZulu-Natal and Free State in particular. So they must come to this committee. We have to understand what are the stumbling blocks. Who doesn't want women and people with disabilities in the public sector? We need to know. You know, it cannot be, that's not about being a twin. I don't know what is being a twin. A broken record. Something that we say forever. It cannot be. It is wrong, you know. Yeah, it's crutch CD. So we are appealing, we are really requesting those who have power to recruit people with disabilities, to recruit women into senior positions where they belong, rightfully so. Those decisions must be taken. What is the unfilled vacancy rate that the people, do you have that in your mind? I've been trying to get that information. I don't have.
Last time we reported, Chair, it was around 11%.
11%.
Yes, but that is right across most of
right across, you don't know. SMS or what. I'm also lobbying that if the SMS vacancies, the women should be considered in those positions. So hence, your forum with other DGs would be very important. Not only national departments, find a way of also going to provincial departments. You will come and account in 2 months' time. So please, work on that agency. I also want to appreciate your initiation of being effective and thinking out of the box by consulting GEMS, even though it is not
verified information, but that on its own, it shows that something has been done. At least you went out of your way to source other information with other stakeholders within the public sector. I wish and hope that public servants who have been identified with those chronic illnesses, at some point they should voluntarily come out and register their disabilities. I will pause there for now and allow the members to engage. Okay, Megluwa. My list for now. Megluwa, you're leading.
Thank you, Chair. I want to start with the same gesture by yourself. Regarding being advocates for gender. But let me start on the first page. It says, update since the last presentation in September 2014. I must say, DJ, you gave me a lot of work last night. I went through October, September, November, December. I couldn't find anything, only to be told now, ignore September, it was February. But at least I've done some work and research. Chair, if my memory serves me well, the last meeting that we had, and on the provinces and the names that you are mentioning, Mpumalanga, Free State, and I think it was Limpopo as well, we've made it very clear that the premiers must come here. The respective people in their province, they must come here and they must come and give that report. It is almost a year later. So I really want us to go into that. And in a case like this, if we were aware that the DG is going to come and present, he should have indicated to you, you know, in advance, the status of this report and also who we would like to see in terms of those being responsible. Because every time the DG and his entourage bear the brunt of sessions of this nature, while we do have people there as well, and with specific reference to some of the premier's officers, we also know that MPEC did not have a nice report. Now we welcome the improve in that. And then there was also, we were also told the previous meetings that in terms of people who don't know, who do not comply, there will be fines. I want to know whether that is still intact, and if there's fines, what are the type of fines that we, these people are being given. In terms of the findings of this report, it is reported that some of the complaints was access for people with disabilities. I am very inquisitive to find out which departments, which provinces, and perhaps also to engage in a program from the DG's desk to see where best can we help so that we can have that necessary access in the various respective places. I also would like us to go to a page of great concern to me. Just bear with me. It is on page 4. If you look at the report on page 4 in terms of the submission of implementation plans, when you have a bird's eye view as it is there, it looks good. But if you calculate the number of departments being presented to us, it gives you 115 departments. So out of the 115 departments, only 78, almost half of them, has submitted their plans. And that gives more emphasis and reason for us to have those premiers or those people in their departments there. And I want to go further. Seeing that this is so a sensitive issue, I want to go further that we even have the minister here, because this falls under her, the Minister of Child and Women with Disabilities, it falls under her desk. She must also come and account to us if it's necessary. If you look at the amount of national departments, it also looks 24 out of 45. But are we saying that we only have 45 departments, which gives you a difference of 22 departments that has not complied? So are we going to ask these departments which raise eyebrows in terms of non-compliance? I would suggest that we give them opportunity to submit in writing to this committee what are the reasons for them not comply, and then they engage in a very robust exercise in either have them here or us going there. And then the department that have not met the 2% target, the two provinces, I think that we also need to hang on the big bell and write letters to him to them. I want some clarity on the issue of Gauteng representatives of women versus men. If you look at it, it looks good, but the very next page says to me that it's only in social development 60%. So are we talking about them being looking good, top the list in terms of ranking with 350 females? Is that only in the social development? I want clarity on that. If that is the case, then it is also a concern that is not widespread to other provinces. So that is, in the meantime, from my side. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The DG will have to bear the brunt because she's the coordinator. So if he doesn't crack the whip, tough luck, he will have to then bear the brunt. So today we are giving him the authority to go and crack the whip so that he should not be held accountable for issues that he doesn't have control over.
Thank you very much. Just a couple of issues. The one is really more to the DG and the department. It's more of a remark. And my curiosity is piqued by the number that we have on slide 6, the reference to the 8,000, nearly 9,000 people with disabilities who are employed by the state. This is out of the state and the other the provinces and the municipalities. This is out of a state number, employment number of 1.3 million. I'm just curious, do we have a number, a national global number of people with disabilities where we can just juxtaposition this 8,000 on 8,000 so that we know just how much work we still have to do to provide for people with disabilities, because I think they are amongst the most vulnerable amongst us. Which leads me to my pertinent question. It was raised in the presentation that there are still people with disability who are reluctant to disclose certain of their disabilities. Now, that gives me the impression that in certain departments, we are not user-friendly to people with disabilities. That's why they are afraid to say that they have a disability. Is this thing prevalent? And if so, what are we doing about it? Because I think at this time in our history where we have been handling the HIV situation, I think relatively well once we started going. We shouldn't have people being afraid to say, they have a problem, because we should be able to address the problem. The other question that I have is on slide 20. The first bullet ends with the statement that the policy is accompanied by a directive to give it more authority. I like the sound of that, but my question is, what exactly do we mean in practice? What are we doing there? Thank you.
Thank you. You raised a very interesting issue, slide 11. Personally, I think it could be the stigma, because illnesses that are mentally related, people don't want to disclose that. I personally think that. But anyway, let's wait and hear what the department is saying. Malesoma?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and let's perhaps welcome and appreciate the presentation and the presence of DG. why I emphasize the presence of Dixie, the problem Abedi, but also even himself. I probably want you to visit your 2015-16 performance agreement, whether in terms of your human resources plan strategy, does it reflect the subject matter, because that is critically sustained. Because I might not be tempted to agree with Honorable Makuru in terms of your premium. Those people who draft these business plans are technocrats. And people who employ at that level, for now, are also technocrats. No catered deployment. But the point I'm driving is practically. Hence, last year, just to refresh our minds, you said the DG is the most, you said serial sexual offenders, yes. Yes, you said the DG, which I think that it must find its expression before the end of 2015, Honorable Chair. I know that is a committee, relevant committee, that presents dealing with women and children and people with disabilities. They are looking at that, but we do have an interest. Because if you look at your stats 2014, 2.5 million of our population is people living with disabilities. But also, what is the what you call it, your presentation, if I say you are, I'm referring to the DG, it doesn't speak to in terms of how many people live with disabilities that are economically active in terms of employability. Because probably that's where we need also to start. But also you didn't give us reasons why then the other departments and provinces are not rising to the occasion as expected. But I'm just saying that probably that must be the area that we are most interested on also. The other one, Chair, I would like us to check, because I hate when government tend to be led by lobby groups. What is our relationship with the lobby groups in terms of recruitment? Because there are those ones who claim to be champions, whereas as government is supposed to be championing, to taking care of the caring government, people living with disabilities. One would be really interested on that matter, Chair. But other than that, DG, probably when you come back also, in terms of your senior management levels, within the department now, probably you must tell us in terms of the total number, if it's 10, two of those ones are people living with disabilities. Because that's where it's supposed to be. And I haven't seen any one of your team coming here, because we must also lead by example. The ruling party is doing that. You can see in the house how many people living with disabilities and MPs, which is a serious issue. We might smile on it, but it is a serious issue, because we are and would love to be seen walking the talk. And we must do that and settle that. Also, just to support the recommendation that has been put forward by the Chair in terms of the forum of the DGs, the Honorable Chair, is to say probably through the acting minister for now, can you find this matter, find its expression in the cabinet discussion, whether it's IMC or government class of the minister, so that it can be taken seriously. Thank you, Chair.
In fact, that will help, because even cabinet appointments, they still favor names. So that will definitely help if that is put on agenda through cabinet. Pandemic?
Thanks, Chairperson. I just have a quick suggestion and question. I think it's commendable that the department is monitoring the employment of women and people with disabilities. I think another category that should be added to that is young people. I think young people are still very disadvantaged in terms of being employed, both in the private sector and in government. With numbers such as, you know, over half of people between 15 and 34 being unemployed, with 70% young black people unemployed, I think it is incumbent on the department to also monitor that government departments make an effort to employ young people. Thanks.
Next issue? This is in?
Thank you, Chair. Can I just, in terms of the Employment Equity Act,
people with disabilities are defined as people who have a long-term or recurring physical or mental impairment, which substantially limits their prospects of entry into or advancement in employment. Now, my problem is when you then, with this definition in mind, draws a line to the data you collect from GEMS in terms of things like, for example, depression, etc., whereby it seems to me as if you assume that depression cannot be treated and that the person that takes medicine, because I presume that with GEMS they look at the kinds of medicine that are prescribed, that this now necessarily results in the person being limited in their prospect of entry into employment, and that it must be then recurring and long term. And I just find that line that you're drawing a little bit problematic. If you could just explain how you've been able to draw that line. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. My first question is on the page 3, line 3. That's need to be compared with slide 11. The first bullet says the 2% and the 50% targets were not met by the 31st of March 2015. And then slide 11 says, there's a bullet there, when these chronic conditions are considered, we have met the 2% target based on 1.3 million employees. I'm a bit lost there. Is it because of the definition, or there could be any other reason to the incongruent points? The second question I have, Chairperson, is out of my own interest. It is said on page 6, representation of people with disabilities. There's a line between the ages of 65 and 69. One would assume that at that age, there would be a lot of, I don't know how to put it, but I want to put it mildly. There would be a lot of problems regarding health between people of those ages. Why do we have such? What would be our? How do we deal with that? Because those are supposed to be retirement ages, but they are still with the department. And then Chairperson, there was the last question here. Yeah, I think that could be the reason, I think, Chair. But at the same time, we need to look at what are we talking about, because we're talking about disabled people, and there is such a possibility. And then my last question, Chair, is take into consideration the persistent performance, low performance of provinces such as the Free State and KwaZulu-Natal, I don't believe. Why was the Free State in particular not prioritized regarding compliance with shops when no department in that province has met the 2% target? Or are there any measures that are put in place to address this? Because it seems to be persistent with quite a number of tasks that they're supposed to do, and yet they're not doing. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Chair. I was just being provoked by a definition that the honourable member has actually extracted, and then says to my mind, maybe as this department I don't have a question on the presentation, but it is related to the presentation. We need to look at the definition. We need to have a proper definition, because the very same definition, it might end up being a stigma, like what the chair said. We need, because really, coming from the medical side, it's a disadvantage or a deficiency of either the physical or mental impairment. It's either of the two. Now, it's even worse when you start saying disabled people. It's labeling. So, Chairperson, I would request that we request the DG maybe really take this, because it's incapacity. You know, it's more of there's incapacity of you operating like, or you achieving the normal, or achieving normally, or achieving like a person who is capable. We can blame provinces, we can blame whoever, but we must also look at the words that we are using. The words that we are using, I was provoked by the dictionary, because this is what the English dictionary is saying. And if I tell you what the other dictionaries are saying, the other dictionaries are actually saying it's a disadvantage and a deficiency of a physical and a mental impairment. So then the person ends up being incapable of achieving a normal particular task given to him, like climbing the stairs, for instance. So I think this can then, as the committee will then say, let us look at the definition. So the definition might be the way we call them, it's wrong. And we call the Minister of Minister Susan Shabangu. I can see the chair nodding their head and saying, she's in the class, I think she's...
No, the definition, we will have to use the definition that is there on the policy. What is the policy definition saying? We cannot, outside the policy, try to bring our own definition. And I must tell you, both members, Ma, Zanini, and Bethesda, you will spend years trying to define what disability is about. So let's look at what the policy says in terms of disability, how is it defined, then we align ourselves with that. I must tell you, even the United Nations, they're still struggling to come with that definition. Oh, and that's a doctor. So they're struggling. Yeah. And you may find that both of you are wrong in terms of the United Nations definition. So, well, experts are here. They will tell us what is the... I think we do. We subscribe to what the United Nations... Yeah, so let's get the definition from there and understand what do we mean by that. You know, having listened to the comments from members, in the next presentation, I think this is a high summary. It looks like a summarized version of your presentation. In your next, in our next meeting, you see, the last time you said next meeting, you thought you would go 5 years, you'll never come back. So, we do make follow-up. I must just warn you, when we say you're going to come before the committee again, we mean it. It does not mean that we are just window dressing. We have set ourselves a few targets that we want to achieve. We are aware we've got many things to deal with. We won't fight every battle because we will not win, but we have 5 issues that we have set ourselves. So women and disability are one of our priorities. So you will be here every 3 months, I promise you. For the first issue is that members are also here too, that we are present. Intensify. Even this unit, we feel that it's not capacitated, you know. It's just women who are, I don't want to say weak, I'll be undermining them, but who are vulnerable, who are not given support that they deserve. Because if you are there and you call few DGs in just 1 or 2 meetings, I'm not saying that they need your presence, but unfortunately, that's patriarchy and that's how society or I hate to say that, but I'm not referring to you as a male, but I'm referring to you as a DG. I'm correct now. I don't want to give males the power that they don't deserve. I'm referring to the profile as a DG, not as a man representing women, no. But I'm saying your position, your authority in that office, if you can use that, just 2-3 meetings where you are present and you introduce the unit and you tell them it's business and usual, my contact with the people, then they will start understanding.
Can I make a request to males in the house not to be intimidated? I'm particularly on your side.
I apologize. I didn't mean to threaten or to humiliate anyone, but I was just saying I should not be quoted incorrectly by saying the DG must accompany the unit, because the unit is fairly represented by female, you know, because people might understand that I'm saying that he must go there as a male. No, he's going there as a DG. Then the second issue in our next meeting, the 34th, is that we want a breakdown. When you say Gauteng, we want to know Gauteng social development, it has complied, finance, you understand, we want that detailed information. When you say Eastern Cape, when you say KwaZulu-Natal, the other question that I also want to emphasize or more reiterate on it is the number of departments in provinces. Are they the same? Then if they are not the same, then it means our formula is wrong. We cannot use a one-size-fits-all approach as if the numbers are the same. Yes. You understand what I'm saying? We cannot. We have to try and recalculate. If, for example, for Gauteng, there are 8 departments. For Free State, there are 5. Just practical. It means the number of people that are there, they are not the same. The population is not the same. So we have to try and break it down to the chase. Let's understand who is, which department, how many departments are there, and how many women are there, how many people with disabilities are. I'm sure you can get that information. And then that goes for national departments as well. Correctional services, I know they're not doing well. Ne? But I know. It's correctional services and SAP. And the person who is heading SAP is a female. Ne? That's a senior position in SAP. It's Miss Ria Pierre, I guess. Ne? That's a senior position in SAP. So we shouldn't. Eh? She is just going to die there. No, but I'm saying, you see now, if we have a senior person who's a female in a department and we don't see a reflection of that when it comes to senior managers, and then that creates a problem for us. It confirms what other women are saying about us. But once you are there, you kick the ladder. You don't want other women to come up. If it's wrong, we don't have to do that. So, it is. In fact, in our next meeting, it's the Ministry of Women that must be here. It's tough. I hope and pray that Ms. Ria Piaha will still be there. She must come and account. It's tough. It's Correctional Services. It's Free State and KwaZulu-Natal. So please respond to the questions that were raised. If there's anything that you are able to give us information on, you can respond in writing. We do accept that. Today. Oh, okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. That was for them working day. Which was presented last time. But thank to the members of the committee for the comments, the issues raised. a number of them are recommendations that we will have to implement. The issue the chair you have raised about convening a cluster of DGs, we will do that. The issue of making sure that we come and report to this committee on how we have taken forward these issues within 2 months. We have noted that as well. We will respond as requested by the committee. Perhaps just to indicate in terms of the issues that the Honorable McGuire has raised, I think if the committee proceeds to convene, to call the relevant provinces to appear before the committee, and we are required to join in the meeting as well, we will avail ourselves. I'm just not sure about the issue of fines, though, because we have not. I must admit the meeting of March, I wasn't present. So, but just looking at public service legislation, there isn't provision for fines at the moment for people who do not meet disability or representativity targets. What would happen at best is measures that are used through holding the managers accountable. So I know the system that is used for performance assessments of heads of department, that in one of the areas called people management, one of the issues they look at specifically is representativity targets. And if the targets are not met, then it counts against you as a head of department, but not the imposition of fines per se. In terms of the issue that the honourable member has raised again about housing and social development problems in the department that makes housing looks good, it's not uncommon. I mean, it's something that we raise even with national departments, that you will find that there is a department that is doing well, but if you go inside the department, you find that it's one branch. That is lifting the department up. And one of the things we keep raising is that let it not just be the responsibility of one branch. I didn't want to refer to an honourable MEC as a young. Protocol might not allow me to say that. And the question raised by the honourable member, the information on overall disability figures in the country among the economically active population, that information is available. Statistics South Africa provides that information. I think we can include that as part of our future engagement with the committee. But the issue of stigma, as the chair indicated, that is the problem. That is the problem. Because we work on the basis of disclosure. I mean, just from my own experience, there are people that you work with and you can see there is some form of disability here, but the person doesn't disclose it. And you can't on your own say, no, I can see that you are disabled. So it's the issue of this stigma, but it's the issue of voluntary disclosure as well that the public service has to deal with. That slide that was included, I think the colleagues were just demonstrating the nature of the problem, that you have other categories that might still qualify, but the people concerned have not disclosed, and you can't disclose on their behalf. The Honourable Lesoma, we have noted the point that the DGs, ultimately we are responsible. In fact, one of the issues we've raised with this committee in the past was the work that we've been doing around minimum delegations. Because as it stands now, if you look at the Public Service Act and the Public Service Regulation, set of departments have got no authority at all to appoint anyone. The authority lies with the executive authority. So it works on the basis of the executive authority delegating to the head of department. what would happen previously is that an executive authority would say, I delegate nothing. So all of them must come to me, I'm the one deciding. Or I delegate only level 12, middle management downwards. Or I can give you up to level 13, that's the entry level of SMS. What the delegations do is to recommend that at the minimum we delegate from level 14 downwards to the head of department. Understanding that 15 and 16, those are cabinet appointments. Those delegations, minimum delegations work has been done, a directive has been issued. So we're hoping that as more and more departments effect this minimum delegation, accounting officers now become fully empowered to make these decisions and will have to account in terms of how they use these delegations to improve the representativity targets. The relationship with lobby groups, at the moment it's an association based on mutual interest, if you like. For example, the way we work with organizations representing people with disabilities is that when we do advertisements, and this is something that the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities has been doing quite well in the past when it was still one department, but I see they continue to do that now, that when they get advertisements, they then get these advertisements that then get shared with organizations representing people with disabilities. There's an email address, an email that gets circulated throughout the public service by, it's called Disability Rights, where they look at access in the public service, they pull them together and share them across their network. But it's not like they're influencing decisions on appointments. All they are doing is helping broaden the network so that people don't say our access do not reach the people with disabilities. Secondly, it's through studies like the one that Fernando was talking about, that where we do studies to understand perceptions, challenges of people with disabilities and so on and so on, we interact with them as well so that we can hear from their experiences. We will indicate, Honorable Soma, the information you asked for in terms of the exact numbers of members of SNS who are female in our department. And the Honorable Van Damme, the information on youth employment, we actually monitor that, because that we did not include that as part of the presentation. So at any stage, if we are requested to provide information on the percentage of public servants who fall within that category, we can be able to provide that and even provide the trends. How it has grown over the years. Honorable Van Veste, on the issue of definition, I mean, we debated it quite a bit with the colleagues. The definition is there in the Employment Equity Act and Code of Good Practice, and it refers to people who have, as you have indicated, who have a long-term or recurring physical or mental impairment. So, I mean, debate. There can be debates as to does this fall in, does that fall in, and so on and so on. And the issue of depression in particular that you have mentioned, from the discussions we're having, chronic depression was indicated falls within that. But I think the point for us was not so much a definitional issue, but was to demonstrate the problem of disclosure. That in a number of instances, you might end up having more than what you have targeted for, but without necessarily reflecting within your statistics, because the people have not disclosed, given the some of the reasons that we have indicated around stigma and so on. And I think this relates to the question of the Honorable Doctor as well, that it's not like we're saying in terms of disclosures we have achieved the number, but we are saying as a result of the issue of disclosure, the numbers that we have that have been disclosed might not necessarily reflect the accurate picture in the public service. Why have we not prioritized the Free State? Well, usually what happens is that we prioritize and say we're going to start with you, but we want the province to say, yes, on this day you can come. But if Gauteng responds faster than the Free State, or KwaZulu-Natal responds faster than the Free State, we then try to avoid a situation where everything then waits until the first province responds, because in our performance plan, we said we will deal with provinces and assist provinces, and we'll have to account for the number of provinces that we've been able to assist. So it's not really out of non-prioritization, but it's also in terms of just making sure that in the meantime, we're able to provide support to the other provinces that are already, that are ready to provide the assistance. We've noted the question that the issues that the chapter has contributed with in terms of the next engagement and the FAPS and correctional services, the Free State appearing for the committee, and we'll avail ourselves as well for the day's job. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Are there further questions that members would want to raise?
A small issue, but it could be also be critical for the reasons that can be put forward in terms of not employing people living with disability, especially those of us that we can see with their naked eyes. Is the issue of the structural and the working place environment, is it accommodative for the people living with disability in all sorts? I mean, even if they say in all sorts in terms of even the IT itself,
in fact, we don't even have to wait for that. People must be recruited. That's all we need when they. Because once we can say we should wait for that, we've been waiting for 20 years.
But because the reasons that they might be advancing, and I'm saying those are the things also when you think that they have to. I'm just thinking of the two centers that we did the oversight. Some of those two centers, they don't talk to those issues. And I'm saying also, when without raising with them, but we must also observe those things so that we can give them instructions in terms of the memo or whatever you call it, directives, whatever, the language that you use in terms of sending a communique to the province and department.
Thanks, Chair. I think this is a question directed to you. Would it be possible to invite the DG and his team to come and present that data about youth unemployment? I'd be quite interested to see that. Or if that's not possible, if they can make that information available to the committee. Thanks.
Both ways, it's all right. You can make that available to the committee. They can do that. All right, Nicola.
In line with my colleague has said, also the DG didn't deal with my concern or question around access for disabilities in the working environment. I know there are some problems. As we speak in Parliament itself, also a problem with access.
Do you still have buildings that do not comply? Okay. Now we're getting deeper into this issue. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
If a certain department does not comply in terms of the building requirements for accommodating people with disabilities, they must just employ them. That's a good guy that will share with you. That is him who do that every morning.
Honorable Chair, with your permission, if you could just ask Barbara, I think on the issue of, because there's a broader aspect around access, reasonable accommodation, that we're doing. But secondly, there's also an interesting...
An excuse to keep people with disabilities away. I'm telling you, we've been hearing that. There's nothing new that we're going to hear. But there's no will. All at least is the report. And the resolution that we have to take here is that the DG must decide, only DG or who must hear. You understand? Honestly speaking, because once we continue to say we cannot employ you because we do not have this, it will take forever. So these people must be recruited now. They're waiting. They're unemployed. They are just idling, you know, they don't have, they can add so much value. And even if they are loyal and they are honest, they will not cause problems for us. I know, if you want people with disabilities, I can give you 10 now. Just, people will always SMS me and say, please, I'm looking for a job. But because of, okay, let's listen to the answer.
Thank you, Chair. The question of the fines that was raised, I just wanted to link it. I think last week the Commission on Employment Equity launched their report, and I think it was reported in the paper that the chairperson of the commission had in fact said that she was now going to insist that even departments get fined for not meeting their equity. I think that's where it comes from the, and that would be the Department of Labor. On the issue of disability and the provision of reasonable accommodation, I think there are two issues. The structural factors that inhibit people, which you, the Honourable Member referred to, the Tucson Service Centres, that you find very prevalent, and we have raised that with the Department of Public Works, to the extent where we had actually asked Public Works to send all their officials for disability awareness training, because sometimes I think if people don't realize what having your wheelchair carried, what impact that has on your being. You want to be independent, and the last thing you want is to be disempowered once again. So we felt that Department of Public Works procures facilities for government, and it is important that they do not sign leases on properties that are not accessible, or if they do, the service level, the service level agreement should demand that the employer should have the lifts, whatever it is, within a certain period. Otherwise, we don't do business with them as government. But within the public service, the policy that we have just had signed off by the minister, it is particularly focused at public officials, the appointment of public officials. In the policy, we really do highlight the fact that it isn't always about money to increase access. Sometimes it is just a question of a policy change. Let's say, for instance, if a department has got starting hours 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and for a disabled person, for example, the policy would say, if you rely on public transport, you are not going to be competing for a space in the taxi at 8 o'clock. Your working times can be staggered. And that doesn't cost money. To get officials to go for training, for example, IT people. When you do budgeting for IT, if you mainstream disability, then you automatically factor in IT that would be specific to people with visual impairments. So if you employed someone with visual impairments, you do not have to wait and say, where am I going to get money for? Because those were the problems that a lot of officials had raised, that often departments do not appoint people with disability because they think it's expensive and they don't have money, but you are obliged to provide for every employee. The determination, as DG mentioned, we thought that would be important because it would enforce the provision rather than just the policy. Thank you. Oh, sorry, on the question of youth, we also do have a study that we released, and all our previous reports, annual reports that are on the website, have shown some of the patterns within the employment of youth, particularly at SMS level.
Are there any further? No. All right. On that note, then, the CDPOFA will rely on your forum with other DGs and also try to work towards maybe revising your policy on disability. Look at it, if it's still relevant, if it captures, because, you know, what was relevant 5 years, 20 years back ago, it might not be relevant today.
because there are new developments every day. And then look at the possibility of posing fines, especially for departments that will continue to enter into contract with, departments who continue to sign these contracts that they know that the building is not compliant or user-friendly for people with disabilities. I would hate, you know, to go back to that agenda, because it was an agenda that was there for quite a long time. So anyone who do that will just be doing it out of disrespect, because it's a policy issue. But maybe also in the next presentation, check with Public Works, who's complying, who's not complying, and if so, why not? But people must start being held accountable. People must be charged, you know. There must be some sanctions. Because if you're at the DG level, you must be well versed with all these policies, especially disability and women, you know. For that, I was developing a training all the time for a cutting. So thank you very much for especially being present in this meeting. At least there is hope. When the DG is here and we're talking disability and women, we do get hope that something will be done within the public sector. Okay, members, in that note, I thank you very much for your cooperation. That brings us to the end of our meeting. Thanks. Releasing the department, we still have to sit and consider minutes. It will be a 10 minutes exercise. I don't intend to keep you long today, Neglu.
Thank you. Yeah, then I will be better. Agenda item, which is approving of minutes, the 10th of June. Do you have copies of the minutes, never please?
May. Okay. May. In fact, can I also, because this is still an official meeting, I forgot an important item, which is apologies. I know we have sending apologies. Even yesterday I received an apology from both ministers and deputy ministers and Derek due to ill health. And and Yami boy, he's out of the country. Oh, when he's out of the country, he's not saying goodbye to anyone. Oh, Susan Cho. Yeah, we are in a formal meeting. In fact, this is the, you know, from my organization, we don't deal with, from the organization where I fully participate, we don't deal with apologies. People must be there. If you know that it is Wednesday, 10 o'clock, you must be, you know, unless it's a situation that is between death and life. That's where you can be excused. So that's why sometimes I forget to entertain apologies. I would want to make a request that members, if they are not here, it would be important that at least, even if we sometimes don't deal with them, but they must be recorded. Members must just do them in writing so that I don't have to misrepresent you. But I apologize for that. And then I know that it cannot be possible that we are correcting at all times. Some people definitely have commitments. So can we then, members, deal with the minutes of the 27th of May 2015? Why are we quiet? Okay. I thought you were with me. Any corrections? Page one? Okay. You see, I don't even know how to conduct because I never deal with... Okay, page one. In order. Page two. There's a correction, page two. Please use your mic, Point two. Instead of saying not applicable, we don't say that. Rather, we say outstanding. Well, because it's... The point two, consideration of a minute or of the minute. Outstanding. Mm.
All right.
That's the correct English. Page three? Yes, Mr. Kantamara?
Page two, sorry.
Page two, let's go back to page
two. There's a correction. Bullet three, which starts by briefing by the PSC and go a little down the Public Service Commission. Presented to the committee on the effectiveness, capacity, blah, 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 as well as challenges encountered, instead of encountered in carrying out, not of its mandate, but in carrying out its mandate. Thank you.
We take it that when minutes are presented before us, they are, what? Quality checked, not contract advisor, somebody who's more learned than him. Yeah, within administration, I guess.
No.
It's you. Not the manager. It's a contract advisor. Not anymore, because before it used to be. Oh, okay. All right. So he's the most learned person in this room. Page three? Agreed? But you must go through them again. Page four? Because we are in a hurry now. Oh, you have? Oh, good. Yeah, okay. All right, do we have a mover? The
Lamin was present, Lamin is moving, and that then Muta was holding, thank you. Can we then go to the, yeah, to June? Page one. Use your mic, ma. I'll look at
the attendance by committee. The chairperson is always on top. It can't be Susan. It can't be me. Next time it's Maclua. Next time it's Soma. The chairperson is always on top. Then you can put the rest.
Yeah. I'm told they go alphabetically. What is alphabetical about this? LMN. Oh, okay. Because M comes before L. No,
the manager of the committee must be leader. Because then if that's the case, then it's wrong. It is wrong. In all the committees,
number one.
Exactly. In all the committees, the chairperson is number one, irrespective of whatever alphabet. And if you look at the minutes of the 27th, it's correct. That's why I didn't correct them. Because I am under, and then it becomes alphabet. It's me. After Mav. It's like Mav is always there because it's me. It's a protocol. Thank you.
I don't want to dwell much on that. Page two. Thank you, Madam Minister. Page three. Page four. You done? Page five. Done. A mover. Captain Tombela. Mr. Masakon. Okay. Manifong, the task teams, the small committees, this must go to them. Because we said we're just not going to process issues for the sake of processing them. We must find a way of making follow up. You see, with women and other departments, we are trying now. But this must be ready, a process so that we find closure on all these things.
I totally agree with you. The new members should be empowered. We are part of M&E.
We have clusters.
We've got DPSA and M&E. So we are in M&E with the Honorable...
Yes, he knows.
He says for me.
Oh, thank you. Why are members of the committee whose name not preceded by honorable? Only the executive, only honorable Chek or honorable Dodo. But I don't see honorable Lesoma, honorable Mandy. Why is that? It is a protocol.
It's attitude. It's wrong.
It's right in the house.
Huh? It's how I feel today about you. I'll put you number three. Sometimes I'll put you number one. I'll call you honorable if I feel like, and I'll call you Mr. There must be principles. Yeah, and protocol. Okay. Page one. Mr. and Mrs. Page one.
Chairperson, I hope it's the correction, like Honorable Mudawi is agreeing to that, and correct that.
Okay.
Page two.
Page two,
1.1, introduction. I propose that instead of that sentence putting everybody in there, we say the chairperson officially open and welcome the meeting, because it's the meeting. But it has also to say
opened and welcomed everybody. Not welcomed.
No.
Welcomed
everybody.
There's
the wrong English there.
Yeah. I'm confirming what you're saying. Uzola didn't capture that. Officially opened. Page 3? Let's go back to page 2 again. Okay, page 2. May I use the mic?
I'm saying I move with amendment that you just made. Firstly, I need to start with the general. It shows that the content advisor was not here. Well, yes, these minutes are wrong, Chairperson. Let me start by this.
Let's do this.
Let us not adopt this one.
I can see there are many issues that are going to be raised.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Because the content advisor was also not part of the meeting. And it helps also to get a recording device, because then you are able to check, you know, and correctly quote what people said. I always see that they don't use that. They take it for granted that they will then follow, you know. Can I propose that we defer the set of minutes for next week? Though next week we will not have time to do that for our next meeting. Next week our meeting is a joint meeting, so we'll not have time to. It's a joint meeting with other committees, ne?
No, Chairperson. Sorry to disturb you, Chairperson. Can I propose that the content advisor was not here,
okay,
and we don't have a device?
Mm.
Can we correct it now as the members, and then he takes the notes, and then he represents the minutes to us? Because there is so much that I'm saying, there is so much that is wrong.
Okay.
And these are official minutes, and you have to sign them. They are a history.
Ish.
All
right.
All right. Thanks, honorable members. I think PMG has got a device. I can try to extract that from PMG, the recording device of the set of these minutes. Then I can rework on them. And then maybe probably next week, then we'll get, or not next week, before Friday, then so I can circulate them to all.
That's in order? All right. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Vestes and Mr. Mutau, and Miss. And Miss. Thank you, Honorable Mrs. and Mrs. Okay. All right. That brings us to the end of our meeting. At least we try to be 2 hours. It was not long. I've never said Mrs. I said Mr. Mr. In our next meeting, let me give you a joke about honorables. Then we went to the United States. Then the lady was receiving us at our hotel. Oh, people from South Africa. Oh, this is nice. Why all of you, your name starts with Hon, Hon, Hon. And because they could not pronounce some of the surnames, then as and when they were providing services to us, Hon, Hon.
joke.
Hon, hon.
I'm running away. I'm going to.
We have a new